Russia. Socrates poisoned again after 25 centuries. Responses to questions from disciples and press correspondents given in Crete, Greece. Discourse number 28.
Beloved Book One, I used to think that religious feelings are something great, something exciting and extraordinary, which happen to only very sensitive people. Being with you, I feel very fine and tender love that makes me feel happy and whole and free. It's such a simple and ordinary feeling that my mind tells me there must be something greater and more intense. Is this again my ego, or is there more to it?
The mind is always asking for more. It is a beggar. I will tell you an ancient parable. A beggar knocked on the door of the great king. By chance, the king was just coming out for his morning walk in the garden. And he himself opened the door. The beggar said, "It seems to be a fortunate day for you." The king said, "For me or for you?" I said, "By the end of the day, it will be decided. I am a beggar. And I ask only one thing. I have got this begging bowl. Can you fill it up with anything you like?" The beggar looked a little strange. His eyes were that of a mystic. His speaking was not that of a beggar, but of an emperor. His whole aura was of tremendous authority. The king ordered his prime minister to fill the beggar bowl with gold coins so that he will remember that he has knocked on the door of the king and he is fortunate." The beggar laughed. The king said, "What is the matter?" He said, "By the evening everything will be decided." Extreme was his behavior, but very attractive too. He was a beautiful man. And the trouble started as the Prime Minister brought a bag of gold coins to fill into the bowl, they all disappear. The bowl remains empty. More coins. All the coins that were in the treasury were brought and they all disappeared. The whole town gathered there. The news spread like a wildfire. The king said, whatever the case, bring all the diamonds, rubies, emeralds, but fill the beggar bowl. But everything disappeared in it, and the bowl remained as empty as ever. Finally, the king has lost everything. It was evening. The whole day, it was a great excitement all over the capital. The king was disturbed. But now there was no point. He had nothing else to give. He fell into the feet of the bearer and asked him the secret of the bowl. Is it a magic bowl? And it is evening, and you have been telling again and again by the evening, by the sunset, everything will be decided. Now it is time. Anyway, everything is decided. I have been defeated by a beggar. But you are no ordinary beggar. All that I want to know is, what is the secret of this begging bowl? The beggar said, it is not a secret. It is something everybody knows. Just look closely at the begging bowl. It is made of the skull of a man. The king said, I don't understand. He said, nobody understands. Inside the skull of man is his mind. And you go on pouring everything in it, and everything disappears. It is always asking for more. It is always in. It is always a bad. You cannot change it. You can only understand it and get rid of it. This is your situation too. You were thinking religiousness is something extraordinary, very special, is attained by very special people. It was not your thinking. This has been told to you for centuries. This is the way of deceiving the whole humanity for thousands of years, that religiousness is something so extraordinary that it happens only to special people, prophets, messiahs, saviors, incarnations of gods. It is not for the ordinary and the common people. And you have accepted that condition. That conditioning is acceptable to the mind, because it gives mind an immense scope to ask for more. It gives mind the opportunity never to be satisfied. There must be more. My whole approach is that religiousness is just like breathing, just like your heart beats. It is nothing special. It is nothing extraordinary. It is not something to be achieved. There is no question of excitement. Mind is not needed at all. Because if you are going to achieve something, then mind is needed. Then mind support is needed. Then mind has to think ways and means how to achieve it. But religiousness is your nature. You are born religious. Every child is born religious. It is the society that makes him irreligious. It is the society that corrupts him. It is your religious leaders who are responsible of making the whole humanity irreligious. Your religious leaders, your popes, your Shankaracharyas, Imams, Ayatollah Khomeini, these are all in the service of the devil. They are destroying the innocence of the child, which is the very center of religiousness. They are destroying the pure humanity of the child by making him a Jew, a Christian, a Hindu, a Buddhist. They are putting masks on the child, conditionings on his mind, and they are giving you this desire that you have to achieve religiousness, which is a rare adventure. You have been befooled for centuries. And mind is in absolute cooperation with the cheaters, exploiters. Because if religion is something like a goal far away, and only special and extraordinary people achieve it, then mind is very hectic. That is its desire, to be special, to be somebody extraordinary, higher than others, holier than others, a saint, a prophet, a messiah. The mind is not happy with being just ordinary and normal human being. He is ready to sacrifice everything to become extraordinary. But whatever it does, it can never become religious. Because religion is not there far away as a goal. Religion is your source. It is your very being. You are not to achieve it. You have simply to remember it. So when I say to you, you are religious, only you have forgotten it. You have made to forget it. Your innocence has been covered with all kinds of ugly, stupid theologies. You have been given all kinds of faces, but your original face has lost in these artificial faces. And your original face is the face of the religious man. You had brought it into the world. You had come into the world absolutely natural, pure, innocent, loving. You had come into the world playful, non-serious, enjoying the small things of the world, collecting sea shells on the beach, running after butterflies, collecting flowers, colored stone, and you were so happy as if you have found the world's greatest treasure. You had the eyes unprejudiced. You had a heart unpolluted. Hence I say again, religiousness is only a question of remembering what has been forgotten. It is an ordinary human phenomenon. Your mind is cheating you, deceiving you, is this. Although you are feeling serene, you are feeling peaceful, you are feeling happy, but the mind goes on saying to you, there must be something more. It will go on saying to you the same, even if you meet the God who does not exist. The mind will say, this God is okay, but there must be some bigger God. This God looks so normal. Made in the image of men, there must be a huge God you cannot satisfy yourself, if you listen to the mind. If you don't listen to the mind, right this very moment, contentment is yours. You can choose between the misery of the mind, because the mind will always remain miserable, asking for more and more. And that desire is unending. I had a friend who is a very rich man. He was not born rich. He was a poor man's son. And we were friends when he was a poor man's son. Then he was adopted by one of the richest family in India, because they had no son. Suddenly he became the richest man in India. He should have enjoyed. He would not have been able, even if he had worked hundreds of lives, to attain that much richness. He suddenly got it, without any effort. But he was not happy. He wanted more. Just money is not enough. He wanted to become a great leader too. And he had money. He fought the election. He became a member of the parliament. But that was not enough. Again more, he wanted to be a cabinet minister. Because of his money, he managed to become a deputy minister. But that was not enough. He told me, "I want to be a cabinet minister." I said, "Do you think that will be enough?" He said, "I think so." I said, "Right now you think so. Once you become the cabinet minister, you will not think the same way." He became the cabinet minister. And immediately when he came to see me, he said he was right. The day I became the cabinet minister, my mind said to me, "You have come a long way. Now to be the prime minister of the country is not far away. Just few steps more, you can become the prime minister." But now I am so changed, so worried, I cannot sleep, I cannot enjoy anything. While I am eating, I am thinking of politics. While I am making love to my wife, I am thinking of prime ministership. Everything has become mixed up. You help me to find some peace of mind, I shall first you become prime minister. He your mind will say, now become the president of the country. If you go on listening to the mind, you cannot have any peace. If you want peace, stop listening to the mind and drop all those things that you have attained by listening to the mind. As a poor man, you were so happy, so joyous. You had nothing, but you had a beautiful being. I'm not saying that throw away your money. Just don't let your mind dominate you. Then wherever you are, you will be peaceful. If your mind dominates you, even in paradise, it will say, this is the paradise. There must be something more. All the houses look so old and rotten and used, because for eternity they are there. All the people look so sad and serious. They have also been there for eternity. So much dust has gathered on them, and they have nothing else to do there. They have lost their dignity. They have attained paradise, but they have lost their humanness. They cannot laugh. Laughter is prohibited in paradise. Do you know it? No scripture of the world, of any religion, says that humor is a religious quality. Accept me. Nobody is willing to allow humor into religiousness. What those dead, dry bones saints will be doing in paradise? Can you conceive? They cannot love. They cannot play cards. They cannot even have a football match. They cannot watch television. It is so unsaintly. They cannot drink, not even a cup of tea. No coffee bread. And no work at all. Their days are empty, their nights are empty. They must be hankering to come back to the earth. At least here they were worshipped as saints, and there nobody worships them because everybody is the same. But nobody can come back from paradise. It has entrance but no exit. Before entering paradise, think twice that this is going to be the last act, and then you are finished. It is entering almost into your own grave. But the mind will say certainly that this is not paradise. Find out, look for paradise. This seems to be some mockery. Devil seems to be behind it. It seems to be a great joke to call this paradise. Even in paradise, your mind will not allow you to have peace. Peace and mind don't meet. One of America's very famous rabbis, Joshua Lieberman, has written a book, Peace of Mind. I wrote him a letter . The book is a great seller. That whatever you know about mind seems to be rubbish. You don't know even that peace of mind is a contradiction of terms, and that is the title of your book. The title should be Peace Our Mind. He must have been stopped by my letter. He never replied. I wrote him again that this cowardliness is not good on the part of a rabbi. Either change the title or give me the explanation. Neither he has changed the title, nor he has given me any explanation. And I have asked a simple thing. Peace of mind, such a thing does not exist. Either peace exists, then there is no mind. Our mind exists, then there is no peace. The right title will be Peace Our Mind, but he cannot change it, because that is the whole theme in the book. Peace of mind. How to attain it? He is showing methods, ways, how to attain to peace of mind. The change of title will not fit with the book. He can understand that I am putting him into a difficult situation. If he changes the title, then the book will not fit with the title. He will have to write the whole book. And he cannot write the whole book because he does not understand that mind is the source of all your tensions, anxieties, worries, it cannot be peaceful. That is impossible. And this is the whole essence of the East experiment in its spirituality for thousands of years. Peace or mind. The choice is yours. Peace is a very normal, very ordinary, very simple phenomenon. And you are experiencing it. But by the side, the mind goes on giving a commentary that there must be something more. Don't stop. Go on searching. You have to say to the mind, shut up. It is your mind. And you have the right to say to be shut up. And you are not going to bother about its nonsense for more and more. And enjoy whatever you have got. And the more you enjoy it, the more it grows. This is the paradox. Mind asks for more and more and becomes more and more worried. Without mind, you live peace, you live love, you live silence. And by living, it becomes more and more, deeper and deeper. Slowly, slowly, your happiness it starts having wings. It starts becoming a blessing, a blissfulness, a benediction.
Beloved Bhagwan, this morning you talked about the misery encountered in our minds by society, priests, and so on, that is not ours. But how could this game develop? Priests on the one hand, people on the other. What qualities are there in man so that things develop this way?
It is a very simple question, because man as a child is the most helpless child amongst the children of all other animals. Without father and mother, the child cannot survive. He needs absolute protection nourishment, warmth. Otherwise he will shrink and die. Human child is the weakest child in the whole earth system. But his weakness is a blessing in disguise. But it can also be exploited. And that's what has been done down the centuries. They never allowed to turn the weakness, helplessness, and dependence of the child into independence, strength, integrity, individuality. Parents were happy that the child remains obedient. Naturally, an obedient child is not a trouble. A disobedient child is a continuous trouble. But a disobedient child is a real human being. The obedient child is just simple cow dung. A child who cannot say no has no integrity. And a child who cannot say no to something, his yes is meaningless. The yes gains meaning only when the child is capable of saying no to. Then it is his intelligence to decide. But it is easier for parents that the child always says yes. He is rewarded for being obedient. He is punished for being disobedient. In the schools, the same is the situation. The obedient child is rewarded, the disobedient is punished. In my high school, for 1 year continuously, in the 9th class, I was kept standing outside the class, not allowed to be in. First 2 days I was allowed in. But my interest was more in the trees outside, the birds, the beautiful sky changing its color. And I was always looking out of the window. And the teacher has told me that if you look out of the window, then I will send you out of the class, then you can look wherever you want. But this is insulting to me. I want you to look at the board. I told him, as far as the board and window are concerned, the window is more alive, more beautiful. Your blackboard with your ugly handwriting, I don't want to see it. And don't be worried, whatever you are teaching, I will manage in the examination. That was too much. He told me to get out of the room and stand there. Then the next day he said, it is better you remain outside, because what is the point every day? The same argument, and I have to send you out. I said, I am immensely grateful. you are the greatest teacher in this school. Outside the air is good, the sky is beautiful, just behind the school is a beautiful forest. And I'm at freedom. I don't have to ask you whether I can go anywhere or not. I'm already out. So I can go into the forest, I can go up to the tree, I can climb the trees, and mangoes are ripe. And who cares about your blessings? And there is no juice in you. Mangoes are so sweet and so beautiful. He said, I don't want to listen anything because you will corrupt the mind of others. Because they are also thinking to be with you outside, and whom I am going to see. You just remain silent and enjoy whatever you want. I will see you in the examination time. I said, before that I will see you. He said, what do you mean? I said, you will know when I see you. He used to live just few houses away from my house. A small house. He was a bachelor. Never married. Perhaps no woman ever agreed to marry him. It is better to avoid teachers as husbands and lady teachers as wives. Because they start behaving with you as if they are teachers. I simply, before the examination, went on his roof, just by the side of his house there was a big tall tree, a teepal tree. I climbed the tree, went on his roof, removed two tiles. He was asleep. It must have been 12 o'clock in the night. And just from that hole that I had made, removing two or three tiles, I dropped a rope, and in the market there were available rubber snakes. So I had tied the rubber snake with the rope, and the snake touched his mouth once or twice, threw it away, but it came back again. Finally he had to open his eyes, and seeing a rope hanging over him, he screamed so loudly that I have been teaching dynamic meditation. I have never heard such a speech. I have been teaching primal speech, but this was something even better. Primal speech. had made a picture of the snake. And wrote that now you have seen me. But remember in the examination, otherwise I will not visit you again. The whole year I enjoyed outside, and he gave me 100% marks because he did not want me to do anything more. If this man can bring, he still believed that it was a real snake. He can bring anything. Teachers want you to be obedient. It is easier for them to control you, to dominate you. All my teachers were complaining to my father, and my father was telling to them, whom I am to complain. You think I am in power? You think he is going to listen to me? You do whatever you want to do. You punish him, you expel him from the school, whatever you want to do, I absolutely agree. But don't bother me about him, because the whole day, have I to do anything else or just go on listening what he has done to this teacher, that teacher, this neighbor, that neighbor? And he told me, you can do anything you want, but don't spoil my business. Because everybody is coming, and I think it is a customer, he turns out to be your customer. I suggested to my father that you do one thing. In your big shop, just on the corner, you can write a small book, complaints here. You are safe. And I will see those people. And let them come. He said, the idea is good. But have you seen in any shop a complaint box? People will think those complaints are against me and the shop. Nobody will think they are against you, and you will bring more mischief on those poor guys who have come in to complain. I said, it was just a suggestion to help you. It is difficult for parents, it is difficult for teachers, it is difficult for priests, it is difficult for everybody to allow any kind of disobedience. Even God could not allow, who is omnipotent, all powerful. The greatest despot, the greatest dictator, even he could not tolerate a small disobedience from Adam and Eve, and they were thrown out of Garden of Eden. They had done no sin. In fact, hearing that it was an apple tree, I had been eating apples as much as possible. I don't see any sin arising out of eating apple tree, apple fruit. But the question was not the apple tree, the question was disobedience. You are asking me why it happened in the beginning. It is happening every time a child is born. Every child is a beginning. And just looking at every child's life, you can understand the beginning of all the people who have existed on the earth. The first thing is, obedience has to be forced. For obedience, fear has to be used. That fear becomes, in religious terms, hell. For obedience, reward has to be used, and in religious terms, that becomes paradise or heaven. And to keep control over everything, a father figure is needed, so God becomes the father. I know why they have not made mother the God. Because I know from my own experience that my mother will hide me in the house when my father was searching for me. Because I had done something and he was very angry. Then my father will refuse to give me any money because I have done something that he has prohibited me. My mother will manage to give me the money. So I know the mother cannot be such a disciplinarian as father can be. And a mother can be persuaded very easily. Because she is nothing but love. He is nothing but heart. His father is head, logic, reason, discipline. And father is man and the society is man-made. My mother even used to enjoy then I will come to ask her that I have done something and I am in urgent need to be helped. He will say, but first tell me what she has done. I will save you, I will try my best, but first tell me the whole story. You bring so juicy stories. That I wonder why your father gets angry, he should enjoy. The priest the father in the heaven, the parents here on the earth, the teacher, the political leader, they all want absolute obedience from everybody. There is no question of any rebellion, no revolution, no change. So their vested interests are protected. And we all have become victims of their vested interest. It is time that things should be changed. The obedient child is always mediocre. To be disobedient means a little intelligence is needed. The obedient child becomes a good citizen, goes to the church every Sunday, but this obedient child is unreliable. What he will do in his life, he may become a painter, he may become a musician, he may become a dancer, which are not very profitable professions. Or he may become just nobody, a vagabond, enjoying his freedom. I know one of my friends, a very intelligent man, had a doctorate in philosophy, but he never worked. He always cheated people, borrowed money from this and that. He has few things in him which attracted people towards him. He was a good card player, a good chess player, things like that, a good drinker. He will never get drunk. You can go on giving him and he will remain in his senses. And was very friendly and very loving person. Wherever he went, he would always find friends. From whom he will borrow money. I asked him once, because he used to come once in a while, when there was nowhere to go, he used to come to me, stay with me. I asked him, how long you can manage it? He said, you don't see the population of the world. I never deceived the same person again. You should appreciate my ingenuity. I have never deceived the same person again. I could have done it, but no, it is not my principle. I am a man of principle. I deceive one person only once. And the world is so populated. I always find somebody else who is willing to be deceived. If nobody deceives him, he will feel bad, I tell you. He is still doing that. He has become old. He has learned even more tricks. And he is still doing the same. And the people he has deceived, nobody feels bad about it. They understand him that man has so many qualities that if he has deceived for a little money, it is not bad. If he had worked, he would have been earning more money. Just if he had been a showman and playing his tricks with cards and other things, like our surveys, he would have earned more. Nobody feels hurt that he deceived. Everybody knows, in fact, that he is going to borrow money and never return, because he has no money, no sources of income. Only he has never borrowed money from me. He said, I will not borrow money from you, because there are bad days in business, and I need a shelter. You are my shelter. So I can come at least, the house, the food, and everything is available, and I can be here before I find new victims. So you used to come once or twice a year, and it's the 1 week, 2 weeks. And then he will start moving again. He had no address. All his letters used to come on my address, and they will accumulate for 6 months, 8 months. When he will come, I will give him the whole last 100 or 200 letters. And he will say, now it is too late. they have already answered. Burn them. Why bother? After 8 months, who is waiting for the reply? He never read those letters. The society is afraid it creates fear, it creates greed, it creates ambition. And the most cunning people in the society become priests. Because their business is the most cunning one. I used to visit a place in India, Surat. Once it was a big port. The Britishers first had landed in Surat. At that time, Bombay was nothing. Just a small village of fishermen. Surat was at its peak. And in Surat there is a small community of Mohammedans who believe that their leader, their chief priest, is in direct connection with God. So if you want to transfer any money from this world to the other world, you give to the priest. And he will give you a note that I have received $1 million or anything from this man, and this will be given him when he reaches the heaven. And he gives the note with his seal, the chief priest, and that note is put with the dead man when he goes into his grave. Can you believe that? I used to stay in a house who belonged to the same sex. I said, do you think there can be more conmanship than this? Priest is doing. He says there is no conmanship. Really, the money reaches to the other place. People earn their whole life, save their money so they can have an account in the other world, and he is in direct contact. I took him to the graveyard one night and I said, dig a grave. He said, for what? I said, I want to see whether the man has taken that receipt or the receipt is still there. Only that will give you some sense. But it is against religion. I said, it may be against your religion. I can dig. And I brought out that receipt and showed him. And I told him, the receipt is here. the bank account has not been transferred. He said, my God, but we all have been believing. And I'm not alone. Thousands of followers, they all do this when they die. Before that, they give as much money as they can. The priests are the most cunning people in the world. One thing, man as a child is more helpless than any animal child. Just join these two things, man's helplessness and the cunningness of the priest. Is the whole story of all your religions. And it is not a question what happened in the beginning. Every child is a beginning. And every child means he is born out of parents. Those parents are already under control of some priesthood, of some religion. And they force the child also to be under the influence of the priest. The parents don't have any bad intentions. They have been before this. What has been done to them by their parents, they are doing to their children. Somewhere the circle has to be broken. I want my people to jump out of this circle. Drop all fear. There is nothing to fear. There is no hell to be worried of. And there is no paradise for which you have to be greedy. This life, this sun, this ocean, what more do you want? Paradise is here. And if we drop the idea of a paradise beyond death, we can make this paradise thousandfold beautiful. And once the priest disappears, the most criminal part of humanity would have disappeared. Freedom from religion is the fundamental principle if you want to be religious. To be religious needs no fear, no greed. To be religious needs no churches, no synagogue, no temple. This whole existence is the temple. All these trees just look at the tree I'm sitting under it. A tremendously unique tree. For thousands of years, its fruit has been used as weighing gold, because it is the only tree in whole existence which produces fruit of exactly same weight. I think in Greek you call it carob, and from carob tree has come the word carat. Gold is still weighed in carat. Carat is the name of the fruit of this tree. But a miracle. Thousands of fruits will come, but of exactly the same weight. The most precious metal, gold, could be weighed through those fruits. Existence is so beautiful, so unique, with all these birds chirping and singing. That you need not be bothered about any paradise or any hell. Man has to be free of his childhood fears, his childhood greed for reward, and religions will disappear, and priests will be gone, and there will be an immense freedom to grow. Your individuality and your world. I know within you there is something which will go on living beyond death. But it is not a concern for the moment. If you know how to live this moment, if you know how to live life, you will know how to live death and how to pass through death without any stress.
Beloved Bhagwan, yesterday somebody told me I'm acting like a child. And I felt in fear. Please comment.
That's insane. You should feel superior, not inferior. Acting like a child is a great quality. Yes, the crowd, the mob of retarded people will think that something has gone wrong. you are acting like a child. Let them think. But you should not be hurt what they say. Just look at me. My whole life, I don't think any man in the whole history has been so much condemned. So many lies, allegations, charges from all over the world. Reasonable, unreasonable, true, untrue. Nothing has made me even to think about this. It simply proves that we are living in an insane world. My sannyasins have to be like small children, with the same joy, with the same innocence, with the same beautiful eyes, looking at the world with great excitement and expectation. Don't be worried that if people see you, you are running, catching butterflies. No harm. If they see you collecting colored stones on the sea beach, let them laugh. But the last laughter is going to be ours.